with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show, and I am here with you on Friday. And as you know, if you've been listening to my show, we have a format of call-in Fridays on Friday. On Mondays, I basically give you the nuclear alerts. On Wednesdays, I like to do an interview. On Fridays, I allow our listeners to engage in topics that they think are important or engage me on anything that has been going on. Before we get into the phone calls, I really want to talk to you about something because, you know, we're coming into this time where there's a lot of anxiety in our culture right now about the end of the world, the new world order, or what I call the old world order. And I, you know, wanted to throw this out because, you know, this week, many of you who listen to this radio show have read E&E News and that article about San Onofre. And for those of you who have not heard it, let me read you some bombshell tidbits from it. I won't read the whole article, but it really talks about the whole picture here. You know, as many of you know, that San Onofre was closed down because they had an accident there that almost turned into a nuclear disaster and a meltdown. They saved it, I think, in the nick of time. There was some exposure. But one of the things that happened, NBC, which is mainstream media, an investigation found high levels of radiation endangered Southern California employees in trailers, including radiation levels so alarming that nuclear regulatory inspectors at times refused to perform routine radiation surveys. A contaminated steam generator taken from the reactor exposed workers for 10 days, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission report from 1981. Now, that's 1981 happened. So this is being told to us after a long time. So this is the really interesting thing. The other thing that I really thought was really amazing was that the NRC did not warn the public. They advised that if it shared the info with the public on the lease with the Navy Edison advised NBC that it has shared info with the public on its lease with the Navy for the property and briefed a San Onofre community engagement panel multiple times on this topic in the last 18 months. In the last 18 months. This happened in 1981. And now they're just telling us because 18 months ago they closed down the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So I was thinking about this, like, how come the NRC really didn't tell anybody my daughter was born in 1981. You know, she's 33, 34 years old now, and she just turned 34. That's 34 years ago. They did not tell the public about it. That makes me wonder about what else is out there that they have not told us, and we all know the dirty truth. But this kind of reminded me of Kissinger's plan, because that was all kind of around the same time Henry Kissinger came up with Kissinger's 1974 plan for food control genocide. So, along with the nuclear industry, they had been planning these big, gigantic famines. He basically told them that what they needed to do was use food as a weapon. Kissinger was really concerned that the pop, you know, he falsely said that the population was going to harm the interests of the United States. And he basically outlined a plan to reduce the population growth in countries through birth control, war, and famine. And it seems kind of like they're headed through that. And what's ironic is now they're going after birth control. You know, the same people that perpetrated these the genocides on the world and the famine on Africa and the nuclear genocide are now seriously, they took 3 years to do this investigation of plan against Planned Parenthood, and when they couldn't find anything, they jimmied up these films to make Planned Parenthood look like a horrible organization, which I'm going to tell you, I'm a very big proponent of Planned Parenthood. It was my primary, it is my primary caretaker. It's the only doctor's office that I really trust. Those people in there are honest. They've helped me tremendously. They give you good care. They send you to good physicians if you need additional care. And those films, you know, in the hearings, it came out that the person who created those films was not called before the hearing. In fact, that person was blocked by the Republicans. They didn't want to hear from him. The Democrats asked to be able to interview him and ask how more questions of what happened there. Planned Parenthood did a forensic study of it and showed that it was heavily edited. So these same people, and then on top of that, boom, we get Pavlov's dog frothing at the mouth at anybody who listens to any of the mainstream media on this about Planned Parenthood. They really are adamant. I mean, I've personally been called a murderer because I support Planned Parenthood, which is a ridiculous thing, but the name calling is outrageous. Again, another idea of the whole social engineering to get us to turn on each other. Because when people unite, we can go up, we can be the tsunami that pushes these few elites over and their power over. But as long as we're all separated and hating each other for one reason or another, we're not going to hold hands and stop their genocide against the population of the earth. And now it's actually ecocide because they're killing the planet with nuclear pollution. So if anybody wants to call in and talk about any of the things that I said in the last 10 minutes, or talk about anything that's on your mind in the world on the news this week, please give me a call. The number is 718-717-8296. That number again is 718-717-8296. So let me go back to this story because while we're waiting for someone to call us in, this report was completely off the charts. It really exposes exactly how the entire nuclear industry operates. Because if anybody thinks that if you have a meltdown or any kind of problem, and if the nuclear facility or the storage waste facility near you, or the uranium mining plant near you, or at a uranium processing plant near you are sadly mistaken. They will never tell us. If there's anything that's happening, we will be the last to know. Going back to this story, and it was done, what I'm reading is from the East County Magazine in San Diego. It's the award-winning nonprofit media in the public interest serving San Diego's inland region. And it basically, I'll skip through the front part of it, but it says San Onofrian Safety Officer Vinod Arora is calling for an independent third-party inspect of the tainted 25-acre site. Yeah, right. Does he also believe in the birthday fairy too? Because really, that's never going to happen. We know what the IAEA's rule is about nuclear entirely. It's the 90% rule. Underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%, and deny that radiation causes harm. That's their rule. That's what they've stuck to ever since they've been doing it. Nuclear power expert Joe Hopenfield told NBC7 that San Onofre was very, very sloppy, very, very careless in handling radioactive material. Well, anybody who listens to my Monday morning nuclear alerts knows that is kind of the theme throughout the entire nuclear industry. They are incredibly sloppy with how they handle it, where it goes, what disappears. We find nuclear contaminated trash. We get notices, NRC alerts, that they find nuclear radiation in trash. And also a side note, I have not gotten anywhere. Do you remember that nuclear report that we did a few weeks ago where the janitor got exposed to nuclear radiation in Enid, Oklahoma? I'm not actually getting anywhere on that one, so I'm going to have to really dig into that one. I wanted to see how that person was and see who he is and see what happened, because it sounded the way that the nuclear alert was to refresh your memory. About 3 weeks ago, it was a very alarming nuclear alert that basically stated a janitor was in an, it didn't tell us which university in Enid, Oklahoma, but I was able to, I think, determine which one it was. And he basically opened up a really heavy box, fell to the ground, picked up these cylinders, turned it over, and saw it said hot radiation on it. So he dropped it to the ground. Immediately, his arms got arthritic. He started vomiting and convulsing. His feet, I think they said, had welts on it from just even being close to it. And the NRC took him to a doctor, and he was diagnosed with overexposure to mold. And they gave him a cortisone shot, which, frankly, is a crime against humanity on its own. I am wondering, what happened to that guy? Because for sure, as any of us know, that man, I guarantee, is probably very sick right now. And I haven't been able to find him. So if anybody out there is a really good investigative reporter, I mean, I guess I could do it. I just don't have enough time because I have to work. I actually support myself with a real job. So it's one of those things that's on my list after October 15th, after the filing deadline. I'm going to really go after it. And I really want to make a story of that, because I think injecting a guy with a cortisone shot and just diagnosing him with overexposure to mold, when he really, in fact, got exposed to radiation, speaks precisely to this article that is happening down in San Onofre. And frankly, it probably happens at every single nuclear facility. Back to this story. The NBC investigation also shared concerns over overly cozy relationship between inspectors and Edison, as well as secret talks involving Edison, SDG&E, and stakeholders. Who are the stakeholders? Don't we love this? Stakeholders. Who are stakeholders? It's not us. It's not the general public, including the Navy and the Marines. That's who it was, including the Navy and the Marines, talking about the military. They had private meetings, SG&E, SDG&E, the military, and Edison had, and the inspectors from the NRC all had private meetings. Some have reportedly been pressured to sign non-disclosure agreements, to prevent negative information from being made to the public. Like, oh, sorry, folks, you're being exposed to massive amounts of radiation and you're super screwed. This is a huge area. I'm from Southern California, and that it's actually, it's there used to be kind of a division between Los Angeles and San Diego. In the last 40 years, we've really gotten a lot of, it's just turned into one big megalopolis now. So you go down to Southern California and you start from LAX and you're going to drive down to San Diego, say. You kind of don't ever have a break. You never see the country anymore. You just see houses and building up. You might see a few mountains in the background, but to be honest, there's millions of people down there. For them to be doing this is a complete outrage. I really, I just can't believe that Americans are willing to just close their eyes and ears on this right now. So anyways, let me get back to this. Let me give you the number again in case I can spur someone to give me a call. The number is 718-717-8296. And I will be, I have tons to talk about. So I hope that someone will call in and give me some conflict on this one because really we need to really chew this one up. I have on my YouTube channel, I've subscribed to a couple of what I call Christian ministers that are on the YouTube channel to hear what the Christians are saying. I really find it amazing that the Christians all think that this is the end times when actually Jesus said, I'm going to come in the flash of an eye. How could we know that it's coming? And yes, he did give us signs, but really, this is not about the end of life on our planet unless we just give in and say, there's not, I mean, this nuclear problem is huge. And we really need to do demand that our governments and the military find a solution. In my heart of hearts, I actually believe that they do have a solution. And they are just waiting till we all, the population, I think they're sticking with Kissinger's plan. I think they're waiting till the population just goes down at such a low level. And then they'll start to really clean up the mess that they've helped create. Maybe I'm being too optimistic. Maybe we're just in a pile of shit that we can't dig out of because, in their hubris and lust for greed, they have completely forgotten the fact that we live on a planet that's a living entity. We have a consciousness now growing on the planet where people are really beginning to get it that we can't take it from these people anymore. I mean, we are allowing the elites to bomb the crap out of the Middle East with depleted uranium weapons. Depleted uranium weapons are being used regularly by the United States. In fact, our military manual changed that all up. So, let me get back to this radioactive story here because it is unconscionable, the radioactive story. I mean, what really I find really amazing is that the NRC only told the community about this, an event that happened in 1981, 18 months ago. So, what other types of secret meetings, secret talks involving this? How many other non-disclosure agreements have been forced to people to sign so that they don't have to tell the public that they're in danger? So, in other words, these people are willing to sign non-disclosure forms and keep really horrible, horrible, dangerous information from the public. They're being exposed to high levels of radiation. The oncology rates are off the charts. Sterility rates are increasing. Young people are dying of heart attacks for unknown reasons. And we've actually got people signing non-disclosure agreements so they can keep their jobs. Like, to me, that's what really blows me away, is that people are willing to kill the planet so that they can get a paycheck. I don't know. I find it completely unconscionable. Hang on just one second. I'm going to get you my book. Because this all leads back to why I follow the four agreements. Because when we understand that we are part of the earth, people would not sign these non-disclosure signatures. They would not put their signature on a non-disclosure agreement. Something that I got, over the summer, many of you know I'm a student. I'm actually at the beginning of studying for my law degree, to be honest. I've probably got about another 7 years to go. I took a ecology of the forest class. We went out into the forest and did camping basically and learned to identify plants. We went up to Crater Lake here in Oregon. Somebody up there created a little book that I bought. It was really totally awesome, and I'm going to read it to you very quick. It's called Advice from a Tree. So page one says, hang on, let me get to it. It's super simple little statements that actually can help us learn in our own little lives. Advice from a tree. Stand tall and proud. Sink your roots deeply into the earth. The earth, folks, not money, the earth. Reflect the light of your own true nature. Think long term. Go out on a limb. Remember your place among all living beings. And I think when I read that, tears came to my eyes, because I think that our culture has really lost its place. We have really forgotten that we are part of the earth. We are not the rulers of the earth. Embrace the sky with changing seasons, for each yields its own abundance. The energy and birth of spring, the growth and contentment of summer, the wisdom to let go like leaves in the fall, the rest and quiet renewal of winter. Feel the wind and the sun and delight in their presence. How many people really don't get out into the sun? I know, like I said, I'm from Los Angeles. I spent most of my life in an office, most of my adult life, sitting in an office, working for somebody else, attempting to support my two kids on my own in L.A. And this was something I really didn't get a lot of. We moved into Redondo Beach. God graced me with an apartment that only cost $1,000 in Redondo Beach. I couldn't believe it. But right when I needed to move, I found an apartment 2 miles from the beach. And I used to wake up at 5:30 every day to go walking by the beach just for this reason, to feel the wind and my presence, to just be in the nature. Because in Los Angeles, you're living in this big concrete jungle, probably like a lot of people in big cities. Look up at the moon that shines down upon you and feel the mystery of the stars at night. Seek nourishment from good things in life, simple pleasures, earth, fresh air, and light. Be content with your own natural beauty. Drink plenty of water. Let your limbs sway and dance in the breezes. Be flexible. Remember your roots. Enjoy the view. So that was such a sweet little book, and I just had to share that with you because we are being bombarded with negativity. I mean, every single day, nonstop. I know since the advent of the making these smartphones super accessible to everybody. And again, that's part of the social engineering to get us all to wake up and look at our smartphones and see what's going on in the world and get our daily dose of anxiety before we even go out to work and try to earn a living. It's a really shock, I have to say, that we have just clicked our heels, Sieg Heil, who cares, and moved on. While the world is not, we're not only perpetrating war, we have now discovered that we are perpetrating ecocide on the planet. And the masses are just sitting there quietly. Like, people may be paying attention, but they're not actively engaged. It's completely stunning. I mean, going to Facebook and posting things on Facebook is not actively engaging, folks. So, let me give you the number again. It's call-in Friday. Please do put your courage feet on and give me a call. The number is 718-717-8296. Let me get back to this story a little bit because it's really like, I put out a video yesterday on my YouTube channel about this because we need to demand that the nuclear, the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, be accountable. I mean, we cannot hold the people who run the nuclear power plants accountable because of the Price-Anderson Act. But we sure as heck can put a lot of pressure on the NRC, and I think that it's up to us to call them and bombard them, which is exactly why they have extended the time frame for the hormesis theory idea. That I think that they're going to pass it anyways. I think they don't really have a choice. I would be shocked if they didn't. Back to this story. NBC reported that SDG&E, San Diego, I don't know what that is, General and Electric, did not respond to the request for comments, nor did the Marines. As if this guy thought that the Marines would respond. Charles Langley is a former public utility advocate at the Utility Consumer Action Network who was terminated for being a whistleblower, reporting off-the-books investments he likened to money laundering. That I went, "Arr?" Off-the-books investments he likened to money laundering, and he was fired for reporting that. Wow. My chief concern is the corruption and lax regulatory enforcement of the California Public Utilities Commission, which has resulted in failure at San Onofre, the unnecessary construction of the Sunrise Power Link, unnecessary deaths at San Bruno, where a PG&E pipeline exploded, and some of the highest electric rates in the nation, he told the East County Magazine. Langley adds, "I am extremely troubled by the corrupting influences of intervener compensation at CPUC, which, in my opinion, has been used as a form of payola to reward consumer groups that endorse and support unconscionable rate increases. I believe that the secretly negotiated settlement with Edison at San Onofre by the Utility Reform Network is perhaps the most egregious example of corruption through intervener compensation." So basically what they're saying, I mean, this, frankly, this probably goes all along in every single nuclear power plant. I mean, this is probably not unique to San Onofre, folks. What's unique about San Onofre is that we were actually able to get a debt closed down like immediately. Although I don't think we those and I'm gonna say we as part of the anti-nuke movement, but frankly, it really was not me. A lot of it was the good works of people like Donna Gilmore down in San Onofre, who really is almost like a nuclear expert. She's just a citizen who lived down there and took it very seriously, has gone to all the meetings, gotten to know all those people on the public utility board. You know how I always say, get to know your utility board members? She does, and she knows all of them, and she's on a first name basis. She built a small coalition of people who were able to put a lot of pressure on these people so that when there was this problem, quote, problem at San Onofre, they were able to get Barbara Boxer's office to come in and hold some hearings. And the hearings that Barbara Boxer's office held really sealed the deal for the San Onofre nuclear site. So, you know, I would suggest that anybody who's in California just call Barbara Boxer's office and talk to her about this and say, you know what, we really need to do have more hearings about the fact what levels of radiation were people exposed to? Although it's almost like a moot point because with the Price-Anderson Act, nobody goes to jail. Nobody's held accountable. You can't be convicted. There's no compensation. I mean, unless you're directly related, if you were to read the Price-Anderson Act, it's very specific on who gets compensated. This type of thing probably will not get compensated. Let me get back to this story. We're almost through it. Due to the secrecy shrouding at San Onofre nuclear readings that kept an NRC inspector from entering the building and led to covering the roof in lead sheeting after employees were exposed to radiation levels, Langley observes, he says, we don't know how high those radiation levels were. And if Edison gets away with it, we will never know. Which, guess what? We will never know, folks. Langley echoed Aurora's call for an independent inspection by an entity other than the NRC, concluding the answer is probably worse than we think. No shit, Sherlock, man. So, this actually speaks to an issue that we have the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, who's, if you look at their mandate, they are mandated to protect the public. I mean, they are mandated to protect the public. And here they are colluding with the perpetrators of heinous crimes and doing nothing. And this story really outlines the fact that the NRC 18 months ago told the community about an event that happened 34 years ago. Now, who in their right mind would say that that is actually protecting the public? Not one person. Not one person. It's the levels of egregious disregard for safety by the Nuclear Commission and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is beyond comprehension. I think that really speaks to the social engineering. I mean, Kissinger was right. I mean, he actually, you know, it's kind of weird the way we just sort of adopted his idea. Oh, yeah, they're going to be doing this depopulation plan. What does it say on this article about the monster Kissinger? In November 1975, President Gerald Ford, NSSM 200, outlined a covert plan to reduce the population growth in those countries through birth control, war, and famine. So they are working it. This is exactly, they're completely doing it, folks. And unless we push back, unless we really push back, our grandchildren really don't have a chance in hell. I mean, few of them will survive, but I guess we're considered useless eaters, you know? I mean, I personally don't consider me and my kids useless eaters. My children are pretty awesome human beings, and so are my grandkids. So, let me talk to you about this story also. It's another one that is really talks about the social engineering, the whole idea of we're being told on a need to know basis and we don't need to know. So we've got this story again on ENE News. The title of the story is Experts Conclude No Nuclear Fuel Left Inside Fukushima Reactor. Total meltdown, highly likely. Conducting more tests to determine how far down corium has penetrated. This is all just such a complete bullshit lie. This is just like liars are lying all the time. That's all they do. I do not know how these people sleep at night. It's unconscionable. I mean, you know, when we see these projections of the radiation coming across the Pacific Ocean, something that always astounds me is they draw this plume, right? Like it's a plume that comes from Japan that's sort of filtering over and it's about to hit the West Coast, right? They used to say it was going to hit the West Coast in 2015. Now they say it's 2016. So don't worry, folks. It's never going to get here. For goodness sakes. Let me close my window. There's a lot of noise outside. There we go. But really, the nuclear pollution has not stopped from Fukushima. In fact, it is only worse. Let me read you parts of this story that really talks about the depravity of the nuclear industry. The researchers say that further analysis are needed to determine whether the molten fuel penetrated the reactor and fell down. It's been 5 years, folks. They could do the physics on that one and know for a fact it fell through. The number two reactor is said to have released large amounts of radioactive substances following the March 2011 accident. The location of the nuclear fuel will have a significant impact on the process to remove it. That, I honest to God, I started howling when I read that. It was so unconscionable. These people have no conscience. They are allowing the Japanese people to just be murdered through the nuclear industry. And, you know, give it to the Japanese people. They are fighting back. They are really making an effort to protest, to fight back, to push back. But the military, the industrial military complex, which, but frankly, when we're talking about one world order, it's here, folks. We got the one world order, the new world order. It's the one world government already in place. I mean, just take a look at the little game that we see on the news these days between Obama and Putin. The good cop, bad cop. It depends on which country you're living on and who's the good cop and who's the bad cop. But they're all being run by the same thing. You know, it was kind of very, very telling, kind of ironic this week. A story came out about I think it was the CIA and the secret or the Secret Service investigating people in Congress and in the White House. And they actually investigated Obama in 2004 when he had just won his first Senate seat, which I thought, huh. It's always pretty much been known that he was picked out by the nuclear cartel to promote their plan. And so, the legislation that Barack Obama signed right after the Fukushima tragedy happened to increase our radiation levels has been on the president's desk since 1957. No president has ever signed it. And this president signed it because he was told to. People say that Obama's like, the evil guy. Well, actually, he's just the well-paid servant. That's it. He is not the guy who comes up with the ideas. I don't think the fucking guy had an original idea his entire life. So, again, with the social programming, this is why when I started thinking about this radio show, the format of this radio show, what was I going to do? How was I going to respond to it? And I was thinking that actually the social programming just hit me straight in the face because all we do is think about, ways to not participate. We just think about ways that we, and I also, again, one of my other ideas, and I don't, I guess I'd have to do a lot of scientific research on this one, but I kind of have this idea that when the whole internet came up, the plan was to keep people happy looking at these machines. We wake up in the morning and we can't wait to get our cell phones. The last thing at night, we're looking at our cell phones. We're going to Facebook. We're texting. Our hands are constantly on this highly electrical thing, messing up our own electrical systems. The whole thing has been about allowing people to not only be in the pot of water, be the frogs in the slowly pot of boiling water, but they actually have a ladder. They've given us steps to just start diving right into the pot so we can just sit and swim around till the water gets too hot, and then we die of cancer. So it, we've got some big challenges ahead of us, folks. I'm sorry. It's not just ahead of us, it's kind of be here now. I don't know if anybody has read, well, let me get back to this idea actually. Let me give you the phone number. I'm sorry, I could just keep talking, can't I? So let me give you the phone number for this call-in Friday. It's 718-717-8296 if anybody wants to call in. Otherwise, I'll just keep talking. I realize that with this kind of a format, on Mondays I read the nuclear alerts, Wednesdays I interview people. So when people don't call in, it gives me an opportunity just to sort of vent and share with you some of my philosophy and ideas because we are in a time when we need to help edify each other and we really need to hold each other up, We live in, at least in the United States, my experience is solely from the position of being in the United States. I've visited Peru 4 times, and that's really it. And my whole exposure outside of this country, I haven't even really gone to Mexico. I've crossed the border into Algodones to get my dental work done. But that's about it. I'm a hardcore true American who's really never left the continental United States. So my experience is strictly from the United States point of view. But, right now we're living in a country where we are being really battered. I mean, daily battered just by the news and by the social programs and by just, our elected officials have really been coerced. I mean, what did Jimmy Carter say? We now live in an oligarchy that really bows and kowtows to the people who pay them. I mean, part of the reason we have the Dumb and Dumberer show, the entire long list of Republicans, is they those super all that super PAC money they keep. Those guys get rich running for president. I mean, they make a lot of money. Those super PAC monies, if even if they don't get nominated, they can't even. Why do you think Bobby Jindal, one of the most offensive people that's out there? Why do you think Bobby Jindal's running for president? Because he is not, he's been fired from the state of Louisiana, folks. He's not winning any election. He left them with a $32 billion deficit. He basically destroyed, I mean, look what they've done to New Orleans. Oh my God, it doesn't even look like New Orleans anymore. The Ninth Ward is all gentrified. I mean, It's an outrage what happened at the Ninth Ward, actually. When I was younger, I spent 6 years living in the French Quarter. That's where I met my children's dad. And we, the Ninth Ward lived right next door to us. And, it was had a long history of former slaves owning land and passing it down to their children. And by the way, Halliburton wanted that land so that they could do exactly what they're doing, excavating parts of it, putting their people in there. And so when Katrina happened, they forced all of those landowners, instead of helping them rebuild, they forced them to sell. And guess who they sold the property to? Ding, 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 Halliburton. So the social programming is on. It's on. We're in it. And the idea I find, I mean, although I'll just tell you straight out, I'm not like a holy roller Christian. I don't believe Jesus is coming back right now. I think we've got a lot more life going on in us, and I don't think that this is the time of the end. I think this is a collapse of our civilization. It's the collapse of our culture. We are seriously threatened by the rat bastards who think that we're just useless feeders, but I don't believe that our culture is dying right now. So let me go back to some of this news on ENE News, folks, because I don't know how many of you out there listening do follow ENE News, but it is always really shocking to me. Let me see. There was a story on here talking about they really have no idea why these animals are dying, washing up on in big. The common theme when you read these stories on every single report about the animals dying, the die-offs in the ocean. Let me see. Let me open up this story about the die-offs in the. Beg your pardon. Here, no, that's the wrong one. Stunning. This is the title of the story. Rapid, stunning, and complete die-off of animals near nuclear site. 150,000 antelopes bleeding from internal organs. We heard about this. This was September 8th. Remember when all those animals over in Kazakhstan had died? Hundreds, and that they were downwind from the Chernobyl fires over the summer. And that's really what happened. And then we have this news story that came out just yesterday. And this was kind of the same similar theme. No idea. Parasites never seen before are washing up on West Coast. Finding unbelievable creatures new to science. Quote, we're worried. Scientists anticipate Fukushima radiation will cause marine bacteria to mutate. They're worried. These people saying that they're worried. It is really unconscionable. I mean, what are we going to have to do to make these scientists find some gonads, stand on their feet, and start saying, we know it's from the nuclear exposure. We know it's from Fukushima. I mean, it's an unconscionable project that we're having to live in. It's what gets me up on this radio show 3 times a week. So when I get overwhelmed from this, I often go back to this book, The Four Agreements, because I honestly, it's very hard not to take it personally. And it's really difficult to figure out, in this book, there's a chapter that says, don't make assumptions, right? So we have a tendency to just assume these people are doing it for purposes of greed or whatever it is. And I'm of the mind that I actually really think that they're not, it's not just greed that's prompting them to keep their trap shuts. I think that part of it is that they're hoping that they can find solutions, that their ideas is that they're going to work inside the industry to find solutions to stop this. So one of the things that we have to think about is how can we live in a planet, on a planet that has systems set up to basically go after really anybody who's not an elite, the few hundred thousand people that they've decided are worthwhile. I think we've been told there are like, what, 500 families that really own most of the wealth, 1% of 1% of everybody owns everything. And so, it's up to us to stand up to these people, and we really must continue the good fight and help edify each other. One of the things I did want to reach on, and I'm kind of glad nobody's calling in today. Let me give you the number so I can talk about all this stuff. The number again is 718-717-8296. Was this whole idea about the education? Ironically, when Kissinger made this idea about doing the culling of the human population, in Congress at about the same time, they made it very difficult for Americans to get an education. If you want to control a population, don't educate them. And I think it actually really speaks to the character of Americans who are willing to go into debt to get a basic education, to be able to become educated human beings so that we can participate in the things that matter on this planet. I never got my education. I went to college at the University of New Orleans for a year and a half when I was very young, in my 20s. I met my ex-husband and he talked me into quitting college. So when I went back to college, I never went back to college because I didn't want to take on the debt. I was freaked out about the money. But my life just got to the point where I really needed to have an education. I knew I needed something else. And frankly, I thrive when I'm in school. I love going to school. I think it's really great. But I've been thinking about this a lot because I was just like everybody else. I am just like every other socially programmed human being in the United States of America. I learned how to tell time when I was 4 years old by watching television, because the television would go live at 4 o'clock. When I was young, we didn't have 24-hour television. I was living in Los Angeles, and it only came up at 4 o'clock. So by the time I was 4 years old, I knew that the television was going to come on and we'd see the Highway Patrol at 4 years old. I grew up right next to San Onofre and didn't even know it was a nuclear power plant. I stayed out of college because I didn't want the debt. When Fukushima happened, I didn't even realize that it was so out of control. I mean, when I met Kevin Blanch, I told him, you know what? I'm the perfect example of the post-ignorance project. It's that phrase, you don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it. And that's where I was. Like I went, had a Scooby-Doo moment. A lot. I've had lots of Scooby-Doo moments since then, because it really was not until Fukushima happened that I really dug in. Prior to Fukushima, I was really freaked out about the political corruption, and I had been spending many years making much effort attempting to get our elected officials to indict George Bush and Dick Cheney for starting the Iran-Iraq war and for stealing the elections. The only thing that thing did was get me investigated by the Capitol Police. So I guess stopping the nuclear industry is going to what? Get me Karen Silkwooded. And I guess in my mind, I've sort of decided, I'm turning 60. If they Karen Silkwood me, I've had a great life, but it's worth the effort. It is worth the fight. My idea is to get all of us to join hands, create a big, gigantic tsunami, and push these bastards over. Stop the nuclear industry. 100%. Stop the nuclear industry. I think I shared with this you on Monday. Was that the NRC is actually planning? We are building new nuclear power plants in the United States, folks. And that is not something to, not look at. I mean, they're going full steam ahead with these whole nuclear power plants. And as you know, every single nuclear power plant is a science experiment. They have no idea what they're freaking doing. They've never created a model that works. And I'm not talking about those little tiny ones either. I'm talking about big nuclear power plants. Let me see. Nuclear power plants. Let me see if I can pull it up really quick. Because that's just in the U.S. We're not even talking about the nuclear power plants that are going to be coming up on in the rest of the world. And in fact, from what I understand, I have a client of mine who goes to China all the time. He said, "Oh yeah, China's got nuclear power plants all over the place. They don't tell us that, but they do have them." So we are planning in the United States, we have a location of projected new nuclear power plants. Ironically, almost all of them are east of the Mississippi. So what's up with that? Why are they trying to destroy the East Coast of the United States? And here I go again with my little immediate conspiracy theory idea. To me, it looks like they're just trying to kill the original United States. They're just going to lambast everybody over there with nuclear power. Right now, the East Coast is under threat from a hurricane, and people over there really need to prepare. But also, you need to be prepared for nuclear explosions because if any of that stuff, when Sandy hit, Oyster Creek had 6 inches to go before the water breached it, and we would have had a nuclear meltdown. So if we ever have anything like that again, and we've now got several years past where we have fracking going on everywhere in the country, constantly breaking up the earth to the point where we now have a planet that is in serious danger. Our continent is now in serious danger from the fracking. So I hope the people on the West Coast, on the East Coast who are listening to this, take this storm surge extremely seriously and get your iodine pills out in handy, ready, folks, at any time. Make sure you have them because the government's not going to be handing them out to you. We are not going to be notified. We've seen the lax attitude that they have done to us. And frankly, I think it really goes down to the Kissinger theory that, they're very willing to just let us die. They're hoping, in fact, that we will die. Look at the denial of what's going on in Japan. This is why they had to pass the secrecy laws. This is exactly why they had to pass the secrecy laws. Because if the world knew how many children in Japan have been sick since March 2011, since the nuclear explosions, how many people have died, how many spontaneous abortions, how many miscarriages, the sterility rates are off the charts, how many elderly people have died of heart attacks, the skin rashes, the nose, the eye bleeding, all of that that's happened to the Fukushima victims has been understated. And it is super sad, but as long as we continue to face it, I believe that we can actually stop them at a certain point. I don't know when, but we will be able to stop them. You know me, I am definitely the eternal optimist. One of the things I did want to share with you, so I guess no one's calling in today, but that's okay because I can keep talking. I have plenty of things to share. Let me give you the number in case anybody decides they want to say something. It's 718-717-8296. I don't know if many of you understand about metaphysical healing, but there is a book written by Louise Hay. She wrote a book called You Can Heal Your Life, which I read probably 15 years ago, and it talks about how to really get over the trauma. Like I think I shared with you that I was quite traumatized as a child, and I have been struggling through most of my adult life to really get back to just being normal. You know what I mean? To just like not make bad decisions, to not hate myself. And I improved myself because I was a mother, to be honest. I was really committed to not being the horrible parents that I had. So I made a commitment to constantly improve. I studied Brian Tracy, and I don't know, he's a business teacher basically. He teaches people how to improve their business lives and make lots of money in sales. And frankly, if you're going to have your own business and be successful, you have to be pretty emotionally stable in lots of ways. So he gives a lot of really good sound advice. I followed him for many years. Along my path, I found Louise Hay. So Louise Hay's idea is that the reason that certain physical ailments manifest in each of us has to do with our own particular history. So one person can be exposed to a contaminant. As long two people could be exposed to a contaminant along with someone else, they can get be exposed to the same thing, but one person will get a different disease. Like one person will pick up cancer and another person will say have a heart attack. And I'm talking, say, for radiation exposure, someone exposed to cesium-137, which we know does cause heart attacks, and it also attaches to the thyroid, right? So it causes cancer. So one of the things that she talks about is the fact that we have these internal imbalances that cause us to get certain diseases. And there are affirmations that we can say that will help us heal. So I wanted to share with you this book. It's called You Heal Your Body by Louise Hay, and it's a book, frankly, again, I use a lot. I mail it out to people all the time. In fact, I ordered one this week to mail out to somebody. I usually mail out, I started mailing these books out to my clients about 8 years ago because I was getting repeat people. Like, I help people with tax problems, and they kept creating the same problem. Like, they'd come back to me every 3 years, and then I realized unless they fix their internal dialogue, they're going to keep repeating the problem. So I made a commitment to myself and to, they didn't know it, but to my clients. I send them out a book called Healthy Healing by Dr. Linda Rector Page. It's a self-healing book. It helps you get over most ailments so you can stay out of the AMA death squads, which I really hate the AMA. I think that they are minimally medically trained. They use us for science experiments all the time. And then I buy the Four Agreements, which helps people stop the internal negative chatter. And then I buy this book, Heal Your Body, where people can go and look up specific ailments or something that's going on in their back or their body or their stomach or wherever it is. And they can look up to see what their physical conditions are, and they can learn different affirmations to help them heal. So let's see. We have about 4 minutes left. So let me just look up the word cancer so that we can understand this, and this kind of gives you a little bit of an idea, because many of us have a lot of anxiety about cancer, and especially since we know that we're being exposed to contaminants that make us prone to cancer. So, according to Louise Hay, the metaphysical cause for cancer says a deep hurt, long-standing resentment, a deep secret or grief eating away at the self, and carrying hatreds, saying to yourself, what's the use? So if you have cancer, you could say these affirmations and it will facilitate your healing process. I lovingly forgive and release all the past. I choose to fill my world with joy. I love and approve of myself. I personally had arthritis when I was younger. I was cured of it. And this was one of my affirmations that I know for a fact helped me heal. Arthritis is caused, the metaphysical reason is from feeling unloved, criticism, and resentment. The affirmations are, I am love. I now choose to love and approve of myself. I see others with love. So I learned to repeat those affirmations quite a bit. That was before I learned EFT. Since I've learned EFT, emotional freedom technique, I've sort of incorporated these affirmations when I do an EFT routine to help me process and get stronger. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because we are being bombarded in a way that humankind has never been, maybe for the last 300,000 or 400,000 years. I kind of believe we probably had nuclear several hundred thousand years ago, and they did the whole thing then too, which is why we have these ancient civilizations that we can't figure out how they built all this stuff. So, anyways, I think it's really important for us to learn how to heal ourselves and how to put things in the best possible light, because we cannot withstand the negative effects of the bombardment on our bodies when we feel bad. We can only do it when we feel joy, when we want to live, when we are willing to make our bodies move. Humans are meant to move. We are meant to live and to thrive. So, thank you for listening to my radio show today, and I'm kind of glad nobody called in because then I got to talk about a lot of things that were on my mind. And we'll see you Monday with the nuclear alerts, you guys.